Hi, I'm Juan Galloway.
And I'm Tracy Galloway.
Welcome to our podcast, 36 Questions.
This is an unscripted show where we candidly and spontaneously answer 36 questions that lead to love.
These 36 questions were invented by psychologist Arthur Aaron, who created this exercise to help people be vulnerable in order to foster closeness and intimacy.
We have been married since 1992 and have four awesome grown children together. We have both been in Christian leadership for over 30 years. We have been youth pastors, church planters, lead pastors, ministry school directors, nonprofit leaders, and are now missionaries.
Yes, we are missionaries with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, the largest missions organization in the world, and are following our call to know God and make Him known to the nations.
You know, our hope is that as we dig deep into each other's lives, that you will be inspired to do the same.
Let's dive in. Hello.
Hey. This is an exciting episode, I have to tell you. I'm so glad you are catching this one because there's so many special things. Number one, we have a new microphone that I like to call Sputnik.
Yes, it's a cute little thing and it's made for travel, and we need more space for traveling.
We do. We just came in from New Zealand. We're now at University of the Nations Youth with a Mission, Kalua Kona.
Hawaii.
Yes. We're here for 2 weeks teaching and training, and then we're off again.
And this is a cool episode because we're outside.
Yes, we're at, what's it called?
The Banyan Tree Cafe.
And why is it called the Banyan Tree Cafe, babe?
Well, it's surrounded by these gigantic banyan trees, which are huge around trunks, and then they have all these vines hanging down.
It's not like a huge trunk. It's more like 100 little trunks.
Yeah, well, some of them are big.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, we're outside next to the cafe where we have coffee and everybody hangs out. And
yeah.
So you'll hear some noise.
Yeah, you'll hear some background noise because we're at the cafe, but it's nighttime, so aren't too many people here. There's little lights out, and there's a beautiful, huge, amazing, cool treehouse here that I love.
Yeah, it looks like a ship.
Yeah, like a sailboat and a pirate ship, and there's rope stuff and stairs, and it's just dreamy.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, it's a great place for kids.
You want me to talk more in the microphone?
Yeah, you keep turning your head away from the microphone and talking the other direction.
Oh, I
so,
do?
Yeah, you've done it a few times.
I apologize. I'll pay attention to the producer's instruction. This is actually our second take. We were recording for 10 minutes, and then the computer crashed, and we lost everything we recorded.
That's true, and that's never happened before. It's a first time.
Yeah.
So normally we read the question for the first time, answer it off the cuff, because of course this is an unscripted show. We don't even know what we're going to say, obviously. But now we kind of know what we're going to say because we just recorded 10 minutes before everything blew up. I wonder if it's the new mic, the Sputnik. You think the Sputnik caused it?
No, it was because I had so many things open on the computer
over
a long period of time.
All right.
I know this technical stuff is so entertaining to our listener.
Oh, they love it.
Oh boy, I can't just need more and more. Okay, so. Yeah, keep waving me. Okay. Anyway, question 32 we're on. What mambo, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
Okay, question 32. We're so close to 36. We're almost done.
Getting to the finish line, you guys.
Yes! Okay. What is too serious to be joked about?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Well, I have an answer right away on this one.
I know, because you've rehearsed it, because you're going to steal my answers from the last...
The last episode, I had no idea. And so he came up with all these great ideas. And so now I'm going to be like, I have lots of great ideas. And
yeah,
they're going to be all yours.
Yeah.
That's okay. Evil.
That's
I must be evil.
That's all right. Keep waving.
All right. Keep your head turned towards the microphone. Don't look to the left.
Okay, honey.
You're looking to the left. Why are you doing that?
I'm going to have to quit this episode. We're going to finish at 32 questions and we'll never get to 36. And then, like, you know, 100 years from now, our great-great-grandchildren will be listening and they'll be like, why did they stop at 32? Well, you know, Grandpa, he didn't want to listen to Grandma and kept turning his head to the left. And she said, that's it. It's over.
I've had it.
All right. Okay, I'll let you answer first since you did last time. And you know what you want to say. And you're so good to think of something nice.
Last week you were saying something as a joke, and it wasn't a joke to me. I was kind of offended.
Oh, really?
Because it was serious. You said, why don't you consider cutting back to one coffee a day?
Oh, right.
And I was like, sure, why don't I just be less happy? Sounds like a great idea to me.
Hey, you know, less sugar, less dairy, less belly. And hey, I have a belly too. We're both in belly land.
Speaking of which, we just became vegetarians and we're coming out on this episode.
Coming out as a vegetarian.
How embarrassing. At least we're not vegans. That's really low.
You wanted to do vegan. I'm like, are you joking? That is serious.
So that my plan is to be a vegetarian for a month.
Yeah.
See if anything works or helps.
Okay.
Meaning I lose a few pounds because I just hit my top weight in my life.
Me too. We're both at our top.
While we're in New Zealand.
Weight. Which is crazy because I feel like we were walking and doing stuff and eating pretty normal.
We were eating
normal.
All right.
were we eating bad? I mean,
well, when
I didn't
you when you're
like
traveling,
it.
You eat out, and I think almost everything you eat out is.
They're probably putting extra butter to make it taste good when you're eating out.
I don't know. I had a few hamburgers, so now I'm
you
not.
You did. You
I'm
were eating fries, like, no but no tomorrow.
Fish and chips. They have a lot of that.
I think it was the French fries that really did you in.
Yeah. So I got a little out of control. So now I've become a vegetarian for the first time in my life. So an old dog can learn new tricks.
Yes. It's been 2 weeks. And let me just say, when we talked about becoming a vegetarian, Juan said, oh, I'm going to be hungry all the time. And I was like, no, you know, I've been a vegetarian before, and I wasn't hungry. And it's true, right? You're not hungry.
Well, we ate Indian, we ate Chinese, Mexican tonight.
Yeah.
Bean burritos, whatever, so,
You can eat everything, just you use a vegetable instead of a meat. Now they have that fake meat stuff.
But if this doesn't work,
I'm
going full vegan.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to try that. Let's see how it goes.
Okay, hold on. If you go full vegan, does that mean you're not going to have half and half in your coffee? Because I can't imagine that.
Yes.
It's beyond my wildest expectations of your ability to cope with life.
Yes, I'm going to go almond.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
That's
it feels sacrilegious. I shouldn't be joking about that.
I can't.
I don't like this idea at all, but
I can't believe it.
But I just can't keep, growing larger. Turning into Humpty Dumpty.
I know. We're waddling around.
Or Weeble Wobbles. Remember those?
Yeah.
I'm turning into a Weeble Wobble.
I've been a Weeble Wobble. Now you're just starting to join the Weeble Wobble Club.
At least you're not alone.
At least we're both chubby. It helps. The comfort. Chubby comfort. Okay. Let's
Things
answer the question.
That are serious. Too serious to joke about. All right. So my answer seems obvious to me, but things that are very destructive, like abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Or that hurt other people, the vulnerable.
Anything like that hurts an innocent person.
Human trafficking.
Yes.
Or child molestation.
Like horrible.
These are the most horrible things on earth.
Most horrible on earth.
Okay.
In fact,
that's not
I would
funny.
Like to say they shouldn't call it child molestation. I think it's too nice of a word. I think they should call it, child rape. They should just call it rape.
They also call it pedophilia, I guess.
Yeah, but they're using like these Latin terms. That's like what they do with abortion. They use these Latin terms so it doesn't sound so bad. But, I think...
Sounds pretty bad,
I think calling it molestation is... I think it's better to say raping children.
Well,
they're a child raper.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is like, even in today's day and age, comedians, they will joke about these things. Because they're trying to push the envelope and stand out. And be as shocking and gross as possible.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's not funny to me.
Yeah.
I just have to be like, no.
You know, it's so interesting because, being a missionary, we'll be off media, like public media, for a year, 2 years.
Oh,
we're
like,
barely on.
Like the news or the cable.
Oh, yeah. And
we don't
I got to say,
all.
When you're not on for 6 months to a year and you go back to it just to see because you're visiting family or you're somewhere that has a TV, and you're like, oh, my goodness, like whatever the worst thing was before, that's like tame compared to now. And then a few years go by and it's the same thing again. It's
worse,
like,
and worse.
It's, I mean, you can see it so much clearer when you're away for a year. You're like, wow, I can't believe they said that. Like, say the F word, like 50 times in a TV show. I mean, it used to be like one or two times and even, you know, or five or then 10. And now it's like 50. It's crazy.
Or they'll have like a kid say it, like a child.
Yes.
Like, you'd never do that.
No. Like they're doing things that were never cool, never good.
But crude is funny now. It's, that's really, you know, it's gotten cruder and cruder over time.
And it's so hard. I was telling you the other day, like just walking around town, because these people, basically whatever you watch, you become like it. Whoever you hang out with, you become like them. And so because people are watching the crudest stuff on YouTube and the dirtiest stuff you can imagine online, now they're acting it out by their behavior and their words in public. And so I'm honestly shocked because I go, and it's global. I go around in a town somewhere and I hear, I mean, and the talk about the old days, a man would never cuss in front of a woman or say a bad word in front of a woman, never. And then when I was in my 20s, I started to hear it a little bit. And then in my 30s, a little more, and 40, and now it's like cussing like crazy, the worst words that nobody would ever use, and saying things that are so raunchy and so bad because they're exposing themselves to this crap and then they start acting it out. And so it's so hard for me just to walk around town hearing nasty person after nasty person saying nasty things. And it just grieves my heart.
I'm sorry I kept saying all that stuff that offended you. I'll try to wash my mouth out.
Juan doesn't do that. He doesn't say bad words. But I...
Dagnabbit!
Dagnabbit! Yeah. Can anyone listening who cusses, can you just say dagnabbit instead?
You know,
or oopsie-daisy?
That reminds me, we were listening, Lauren Cunningham was speaking this week.
He's the founder of Youth with a Mission.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we work.
He has ministered in every country on earth. He's the only person in history to do that.
At that time, I'm not sure. I think now probably someone has.
No, I think he's still got the record. There's people who have been to every country, but not ministered in every country.
Oh, ministered
That's
in
right.
every country
he's
on earth.
He's the only one in history.
Wow.
So anyway, he was making a joke. He's so funny. And
he is funny.
He was talking about the country or the city of Madang. And he said, he goes, My mom used to, you know, I used to get in trouble if I said dang. I wasn't allowed to do that as a kid because his parents were pastors and stuff.
Yeah.
And he says, so now I really get a big kick out of saying madang.
Madang. That's in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's where what they're doing it, Youth with a Mission medical ships.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny. Madang. That was a cuss word back in his time.
Yeah, dang. Yeah, that was a bad word.
Yeah. Pretty mild.
I can't take it. Yeah, I can't take it. It's so hard. And wow, it's really bad. And the sad thing is kids of all ages watch YouTube and they're just ingesting like the coarsest, most disgusting things. And it's got to be forming the way they see the world in such a major way. I'm kind of afraid for what it's going to be like in 10 years when they grow up, you know?
The grossification of America or the world.
The world.
Say.
Yeah, it's worldwide.
A lot of it does come from America. That's even sadder, isn't it?
It's so sad. I don't think Americans...
Our media goes everywhere.
Yeah. I don't think Americans realize the influence they have globally with the media and the movies and the things they release. Everywhere we went in New Zealand, they're asking me about President Trump being arrested or whatever happened. It's questioned.
Which we don't know anything about.
We don't know anything about it.
We can't see the news.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it. But what they... They immediately think, oh, you know, you can go after your president. You know, we can go after our president. Like it's just, I think people in America think it just has to do with what's happening here. They don't realize that the things we're doing, people are copycatting them globally. A lot is copycatting, not just America, but the West. The West gets copied a lot.
It's because when we go to these other countries, if we ever turn on the TV in a hotel room, it's all in Italian or whatever. We can't understand a darn thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have some American TV show. And
it's light years beyond anything in that country. Like light years better. And so because of that, it has a strong influence.
Yeah. People are really into American stuff.
Yeah.
Shows and movies.
Or Western.
By the way, I'll say Western. Did you have to get political? I really don't like that in our show.
No, sorry.
Politics are too ridiculous to be serious about. Let me just flip it on its head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't talk politics because that's divisive and divides.
Yes, thank you.
But, joking. Yeah, so your answer is joking about anything to do with hurting or harming an innocent person and then joking about it. I agree. That's horrible. All right.
All right, so now it's time for the book of the week.
The book of the week. And we are reading a good one. Mm.
So I have heard a lot about this book.
Yeah, I've been hearing about it for years. I can't believe we haven't read it yet.
It has been the buzz in YWAM and abroad. I mean,
globally. Everywhere. What are you talking about? This was out way before.
I heard about it at YWAM, and I was
I heard about it way before. Then.
I put it on my list of things to read, and finally, I started reading with you.
Yeah.
Man, it's so good. Anyway, here it is. It's called "The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry" by John Mark Comer.
The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Yes.
So he is a pastor in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And his story's pretty interesting. He was a pastor of a mega church with like 7 campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And he's preaching 5 times every Sunday. I mean, back to back
5.
To back. Something like that.
Ah, oh, I can't imagine.
And of course, he started to wither.
Oh. Oh,
and
yeah.
I have
oh, horrible.
I have preached 4 messages in a row.
Yeah.
And it makes you into a zombie.
Yeah. Well,
even doing it once.
I think the pastor of that church burned out and left. And so did the next one. Like, nobody can last through that.
So I remember this line. He asked another mega church pastor. He called and said, how do you survive? You know? And he's like, well, it's just like a marathon and you just have to keep going or something. Something ridiculous. And so... But then that pastor ended up burning out and leaving his wife.
Having an affair. Yeah,
it was some horrible thing. And he's like, I don't want to learn from that guy.
No.
I got to make a change in my life.
No.
So he actually stepped down, gave himself a demotion from being over all these churches and just pastored one church.
Good.
Anyway, so here's a quote from the book. I love it.
Okay.
He defined hurry as, quote, a state of frantic effort one falls into in response to inadequacy, fear, and guilt. The simple essence of hurry is too much to do. The good of being delivered from hurry is not simply pleasure, but the ability to do calmly and effectively, with strength and joy, that which really matters. Corrie Ten Boom once said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy.
That's true.
There's truth in that. Both sin and busyness have the same effect, exact same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul.
Yeah.
Ooh!
You know, when I know I'm doing too much is when I start hating everyone. I'm like, and I'm a lover of people. I love everyone all the time. I love everything. I love the tree. I love the grass. I love people.
So funny.
But all of a sudden, I'm like, I hate everybody, and I hate everything I do, and everybody leave me alone, and I'm going to bed. And that's when I'm doing, you know, that's when I'm like, oh, warning, warning. You know, when you start hating everybody and everything, you're in a bad place. For sure.
Yeah. And when you run out of steam and just bottom out, you bottom out physically, bottom out emotionally. I do. I mean, and I might feel angry. I might feel sad, but it's usually just from doing too much.
Yeah, that's
and,
all.
Exceeding the boundaries and realistic,
boundaries.
Capacity that God has given me, it's exceeding that.
Yeah.
And so he talks about, of course, we know how Jesus kept breaking away from the crowds.
Right.
He was having this super successful ministry, but he's like, gotta go. It's too many crowds. We're going to the next town.
Yeah.
He kept running away from fame, running away from attention. And he wouldn't be pressured and, you know, he took care of himself.
Yeah. I call it a ministry mistress, which is like, it's like the ministry or the church or the mission is like the other woman, you know,
it can also be your career.
Could be your career.
You know, I gotta be the first person into work and the last person out.
I have to be the best. Perfectionism. Nobody's holding you to that perfectionist state, but yourself. Why do you have to be the best? You know, why do you have to be perfect? Why do you have to work all those hours? What is that? Is that performance? Like you're trying to perform for others? you're trying to be better than everyone else? Is it pride? You know, what's the root of that?
Well, check this out. He also said the average American works nearly 4 more weeks per year than they did in 1979. So Harvard Business Review conducted a study on the change in social status in America. It used to be that leisure was a sign of wealth. People with more money spent their time playing tennis or sailing in the bay or sipping white wine during lunch at the golf club. But that's changed. Now busyness is a sign of wealth.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I see it. You know, I'm guilty of it. You know, we get very busy and I'm just like, I'm so busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I have no time. And when you stop having time for people, then you're too busy. And this reminds me of the old days. I used to tell you, this year, let's do less. Like, who says that? My goal is to do less this year. I mean, but the truth is, and this is the upside down kingdom of God, is that when you do less, you actually work smarter.
Well, you make a bigger impact because when you're operating out of a sense of peace, calm, and healthiness, the way you're affecting people around you and your own soul is all better.
Hey guys, we're recording a podcast. That's okay.
You don't have to be quiet. We're
you
recording
can say
outside.
Hello. Hello. You want to be on our podcast? So, just some friends. All right.
So.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I'm okay. I thought we crashed again, but we did not.
That was scary.
It was scary. Anyway, this over-exceeding our boundaries is toxic to the soul.
Yeah.
And you can see it all around you that there's way more anxiety than ever before. Mm-hmm. We're over-medicated in our country anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, even kids and young people are all, they're stressed
they're
out.
They're wrecked.
They're doing too much.
Too much.
It's crazy.
With our kids, you know, a lot of people, they have their kids in a different sport every season.
Or multiple sports at the same time.
Right. And so what we did with our kids, and you don't have to do this. I mean, everybody has your own family, your own
way.
But
ours is the best, just saying.
The thing you're into. But we really tried to make sure that we had a lot of fun family time. And some of that was these activities, but some was just hanging out together. So the way we did this is we had 4 kids, and they each got to choose one activity that they would do for one quarter of the year. So
taekwondo
or soccer,
softball
or
horseback riding.
Yeah, something.
Some lessons.
So they all got to do something, but they were only doing it one quarter of the year. The rest of the year, they were going to their siblings' activities and cheering them on. And then they had their turn and they got to do it for a quarter of the year, and their siblings came and chose, you know, cheered them on. But never once were they allowed to do it in the same season even. Like we, you know, like they had to pick different seasons. So it was, so really each, like there's 4 seasons, winter, summer, spring, fall.
You got them all, huh?
And in each one, it was that kid's season, and we were all about that kid and supporting that kid, loving that kid. Yeah, it was fun. And we weren't separating and going to different games. We were all cheering on that one kid. And then it was the next kid's turn. And so did they exceed in their sport and become the best in that sport?
No,
they did not. They did not. So,
not our family.
So if your kid wants to be the best at something and get an athletic scholarship, they should not be in our family. But when we weren't doing that sport, we were playing ping pong and frisbee and disc golf and doing other stuff.
Playing games.
Yeah, playing board games, doing other things. But we weren't running around. We never did travel sports. Well, we didn't have the money to do travel sports. I mean, that's expensive, right? Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that.
Well, I don't know. But the book is excellent, and we needed this book, I think, because the temptation for us while we're traveling to many countries, well, I think we're doing...
I just counted how many countries. We're in 12 different countries this year. 12 different countries.
That doesn't sound healthy.
I know. And it's like literally a different country every month.
But
that's our job.
But because of this book, we have been so much more attentive to how do we plan out this schedule so we don't fry ourselves.
Right.
And you did a great job, even today, booking days off, even weeks off.
Weeks off.
In between. Because we have long pushes. And then we've got to recuperate or we just won't make it this year.
Yeah. And, you know, I asked for advice from some older people, like, what do we do to make it for the long haul and not burn out?
Right.
And most of the answers are, I'm not doing it. I am burning out. Or I just do one day off a week for a Sabbath. And I'm like, well, none of those are good enough. Those aren't good enough answers. So we have to come up with our own.
Well, and we did get some good advice.
Yeah.
From, remember, our friends, the Portales, who've been missionaries 50 years.
Yes.
They had burned out and been through stuff like almost every other person, right? And they did learn and get wiser, and they shared how important friends were.
Yeah.
And so we came up with a plan to connect on Zoom when we're traveling with our best friends, which is like three or four couples.
Yeah. We're picking out four couples, and that way we will meet with one a month. Like a date. Let's like a double date
like
on Zoom.
Zoom date.
So one a month with a Zoom date. And then that way they're only meeting with us quarterly, which is four times a year, which is plenty double dates for someone that lives in another country or another place.
And we're also going to try to see them in person when we are glorying around the globe. If we're going near them, we're going to stop and
spend a week with them and hang out and laugh and just keep relationship going because... Yeah, that's true. Relationship's important. Exercise is important. So we decided to start walking an hour every day together.
And we did it one time. It was great. We walked a whole hour in New Zealand.
We did it more than once?
Nope. Emily? No.
Really?
Well,
we did take
a walk by the lake.
We walked the Milford Trek. And that was really hard.
Okay, that was like intense.
Oh my gosh, it was so hard.
That's one of the most intense hikes on earth. It's a 4-day hike.
We did
4 hours.
We only did the last leg of it, and that was plenty.
It was amazing. That was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. So, I we rode bikes. I think we have been very active.
Electric bikes, which.
Hey, you know, I thought. Listen, I thought an electric bike, you'd turn it on and it would go.
Like a scooter.
Yeah.
By itself.
Yeah. No, it doesn't do that.
We actually had to pedal. Can you believe it?
You still have to pedal up that hill. Like you can have a steep hill and you turn on the electric and it gives you like a little, it's like someone giving you a little push.
Come on. It juices it big time.
Oh, not for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm too heavy on the bike, but it barely gave me anything. I think that battery was low.
That's the first time we've ever ridden electric bikes.
Yeah. And we did two
hours. They're in now.
We did
very
2 hours on a trail. That was pretty good. See, we're not so bad.
That was fun.
Anyway, I guess I just want to say about this book and about ministry, another thing we learned is when we arrive to a new country, we need 24 hours to just acclimate to the time zone, find out where the bathroom is,
the culture,
get some food from somewhere, find out where the grocery store is. Like we need 24 hours to settle. We're not going to land somewhere and just go preach or go teach. No.
Which I have done a million times.
Yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
It's terrible.
That's dumb. So we're going to get there 24 hours in advance, acclimate, rest, drink water. And so that way when we get up to preach and teach, we're fresh and we're able...
We're walking in the spirit, not the flesh.
Walk in the spirit, not the flesh. Exactly. So, I mean, we have the benefit of not having kids that we're leaving. Some people have kids back home. They're just trying to get out and get back as quick as they can. And I get that. But for us... Yeah, we have to do some buffer time for us oldies. I'm 49.
Yeah, we got to take care of ourselves. Somebody told us recently, like, now that you're in your 50s, you can't live like you did in your 30s. And we're like, really? That's a thing?
Hey, that's not me. He's talking to you. I'm not in my 50s. Not for another few weeks.
You turn 50 in June.
I have a few weeks.
Enjoy your 40s while you still got them.
All right. So... That is a great book. We highly recommend it.
Yeah.
The only time it was not recommended is for young people who've never had a job. If you're a young person, you've never worked a job and worked really hard 8 hours a day at least, then this book does not apply to you. You have to be someone who's worked an 8-hour day shift for at least 6 months straight, working hard. And then you can, like, relate. But a lot of people have never worked a job, don't work. They read this book, and they're like, oh, I'm just going to relax and chill out. I don't want to work too hard. It's like, you need to learn how to work. And you know, it's for people who are working way too much, not people who don't work at all or hardly at all. Right?
Yes. That's true. We work with young people, so we're always mentoring and coaching.
Right.
Part of what we have to coach people is it's time to work hard.
Yes.
You know, you're here for a reason to actually make a difference in the world.
Right. Okay, so let's go on to the next part. Okay, so we are going to do something we've never done before. We're going to wrap this up in just a couple minutes. And that's because I feel like we both answered the question in the beginning.
I feel like people are going to be frustrated, like they didn't get their money's worth with this episode if you rush it.
They're paying big bucks to listen to this podcast. Yeah, so I think I just want to close up now. So, because we have a phone call, we have a Zoom to do.
With Spain.
With Spain. Say something in Spanish. What can you say? Gloria a Dios. Amen.
Yo quiero un tamale muy caliente.
Enchilada, taco.
Yeah. Buenos nachos.
Buenos nachos. There, you know, Spanish is different in Spain than in Mexico. And I think you know Mexican Spanish. So you're in trouble,
actually,
I think.
You're wrong.
What?
I know Puerto Rican Spanish.
Oh.
That's where I learned Spanish.
Okay. So that's different too, yeah?
Yeah. In Puerto Rico, when we see a bus, we go, El guagua. And in Mexico, you go, El autobús.
Oh, that's very different.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of words.
And what about Spain?
In Spain, I've never been to Spain, and I have no idea.
I guess we'll find out.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, so we're meeting with Spain, because we'll be heading there in a couple months. So we'll definitely podcast from there probably later. Mm-hmm. But I think we just both answered the question. So thanks for listening in. Do you have anything to say at the end?
Nope.
All right. Bye, y'all.